Blog Talk Radio.
This is the news in brief from the United Nations. The World Food Programme, WFP, is delivering life-saving support to record numbers of people in Somalia, with over 4 million a month receiving urgent supplies to prevent famine in the face of the region's worst drought in over 40 years. The scale-ups helped keep the worst outcomes of Somalia's hunger crisis at bay so far, said WFP. But the situation on the ground remains dire, with a child admitted for treatment with acute malnutrition every minute, according to UNICEF. WFP's racing against time to beat projected famine and a death toll that could reach the tens or even hundreds of thousands. Over the last 6 months, WFP's more than doubled the number of people reached with life-saving food and cash assistance, from 1.7 million in April to 4.4 million in August. The UN priority agenda on women, peace and security is further away from achieving its goals than ever before, according to the UN gender agency UN Women. The latest report from UN Chief Antonio Guterres shows a sharp deterioration which is significantly impacting women and girls' survival in war zones. UN Women Executive Director Seema Barhouse said on Thursday as the Security Council debated the issue that at a time of unprecedented crisis, the last thing the world should do is walk back from its commitments. The report calls for empowering women human rights defenders, ensuring women have a seat at the table in peace talks, and more funding for women's involvement in peace and security. And finally, African leaders gathered in Mauritius on Thursday to mull solutions to the education gap highlighted by a new UN report, which shows children on the continent are five times less likely to learn the basics than those living elsewhere. The ability of education systems to ensure even rudimentary literacy skills for their students has declined in 4 out of 10 African countries over the last 3 decades. The findings are published in the first of a 3-part series of spotlight reports called Born to Learn, published by the Global Education Monitoring Report at UN Education Agency UNESCO, the Association for the Development of Education in Africa, and the African Union. Manos Antoninis, director of the report, said while every child's born to learn, they can't do so if they're hungry, lack textbooks, or don't speak the language they're being taught in. Lack of basic support for teachers is another key factor. Matt Wells, UN News.
For radio as secular as our Constitution, tune in to Free Thought Radio.
Christian nationalism, godless gospel, and keeping religion out of schools.
We'll talk about all of that, then we'll interview New Hampshire State Rep Sherry Dutsey, who's non-religious.
We'll talk about the growing number of secular elected officials around the nation.
That's right. Free Thought Radio will be coming up here in just a few minutes. I hope you enjoy the show today. It's going to be very interesting, I'm sure. Let's see. We've got a little bit here of Democracy Now. It's today's Democracy Now! Headline news.
Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Britain's Labour Party is pushing for an immediate general election in the United Kingdom a day after Prime Minister Liz Truss announced her resignation less than 7 weeks into her term. During her tenure as Britain's shortest reigning Prime Minister, Truss saw the value of the pound plummet while she pushed for sweeping tax cuts on the rich. Truss announced her resignation outside 10 Downing Street Thursday.
Leadership election to be completed within the next week. This will ensure that we remain on a path to deliver our fiscal plans and maintain our country's economic stability and national security. I will remain as Prime Minister until a successor has been chosen.
Leading candidates to replace Truss include former Chancellor Rishi Sunak, House of Commons leader Penny Mordaunt, and even disgraced former Prime Minister Boris Johnson, who Truss replaced. After headlines, we'll go to the UK to speak with the author and activist George Monbiot. In Chad, security forces shot and killed dozens of anti-government protesters Thursday in the country's two largest cities. Some 50 people were killed, hundreds injured. Protesters were demanding an end to transitional military rule and a return to democracy. Chad's been mired in a protracted political crisis following the death of former President Idriss Deby, who was killed on the battlefield in April of last year. This all comes as Chad declared a state of emergency over catastrophic flooding that's demolished crops and livestock, worsening food insecurity in the region.
We subsist on selling milk to the surrounding population, but now there is not even enough to eat. Last year, we saw our cows starve to death before our eyes. This year, we are facing another disaster.
The UN says 5.5 million people in Chad are in need of emergency humanitarian aid. In Sudan, more than 150 people have been killed, scores more injured during 2 days of fighting in the southern state of Blue Nile. It's the latest in a series of clashes between the Hausa people and rival groups in southern Sudan that have left hundreds of people dead this year while driving tens of thousands from their homes. Ukraine faces a worsening energy crisis after a series of Russian attacks on critical infrastructure brought nationwide shortages of power and heat. On Thursday, authorities began limiting supplies of electricity between 7 a.m. and 11 p.m. Officials say one-third of Ukraine's power stations have been recently hit by missile and drone attacks. In Washington, State Department spokesperson Ned Price Thursday cited abundant evidence that Iranian military trainers are helping Russian forces carry out drone strikes.
We assessed that Iranian military personnel were on the ground in Crimea and assisted Russia in these operations. Russia has received dozens of these UAVs so far and will likely continue to receive additional shipments in the future. We're concerned that Russia may also seek to acquire advanced conventional weapons from Iran.
Russian officials say Ukrainian forces firing U.S.-made HIMARS rockets killed 6 people and injured 10 others in the eastern Luhansk region earlier today. Meanwhile, in southern Ukraine, Russia says 4 civilians were killed, 13 others injured in missile attacks in the occupied city of Kherson. Meanwhile, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has accused Russia of mining a massive hydroelectric dam upstream from Kherson with explosives and is calling for international monitors to ensure the security of the site. Ukraine's warned a breach of the dam could lead to catastrophic flooding downstream, impacting hundreds of thousands of people. It could also disrupt critical cooling systems at the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant, which relies on water from a reservoir created by the hydroelectric dam. In the occupied West Bank, Israeli forces shot and killed a Palestinian teenager during a raid on the northern city of Jenin. Salah al-Braiki was 19 years old. 3 other Palestinians were injured. Here in the United States, the ACLU is asking the Supreme Court to overturn an Arkansas law that penalizes people who engage in boycott, divestment, and sanctions, or BDS support. BDS seeks to boycott Israel and Israeli goods to protest its violation of Palestinian rights. The ACLU says Arkansas's anti-BDS law violates the right to free speech. In Pakistan, former Prime Minister Imran Khan has been disqualified from holding office for 5 years. Pakistan's Election Commission accused Khan of corrupt practices for the resale of gifts he received while in power. Khan's party rejected the ruling and called on supporters to take to the streets. He was removed from power in April after a parliamentary vote of no confidence. Khan described the move as a form of U.S.-backed regime change. Here in the United States, 2 attempts to block President Biden's student loan debt relief plan were shut down Thursday. A federal judge in Missouri rejected a case brought by 6 Republican-led states that argued Biden overstepped his authority by bypassing Congress. Separately, Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett denied a challenge to the plan brought by a right-wing advocacy group. The Biden administration started accepting applications this week for up to $20,000 of individual relief for federal student loans. A federal appeals court said Thursday South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham must testify before a Georgia grand jury that's probing attempts by former President Trump and his allies to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election. Fulton County prosecutors subpoenaed Senator Graham to testify about 2 calls he placed just after the 2020 election to Brad Raffensperger, Georgia's Republican Secretary of State. Raffensperger told reporters after the calls Graham had hinted he should throw away ballots from areas where Joe Biden likely got more votes. In the Pacific Northwest, large wildfires in Oregon and Washington state have sent up massive plumes of smoke that brought some of the world's worst air quality to cities in the region. On Thursday, Seattle residents were warned to shutter windows, avoid exercise, and cautioned to wear masks outdoors. Portland and other cities issued similar warnings about unhealthy air quality. This is Brian Harvey, professor of forest sciences at University of Washington.
as the climate continues to warm, we are going to see a lengthening of the fire season, and that's been shown in many regions around the globe.
The Environmental Protection Agency is launching a civil rights investigation into whether the state of Mississippi discriminated against the majority black residents of Jackson when it refused to use federal funds to address the city's dangerous water crisis. The EPA said Thursday it's probing Mississippi's Department of Health and Department of Environmental Quality over its role in the crisis that left tens of thousands of mostly black households without drinking water. The main water treatment plant in Jackson was damaged after torrential rains and flooding in late August. Some viral videos show undrinkable brown liquid coming out of taps. In California, a Los Angeles jury found former UCLA gynecologist James Heaps guilty of sexually abusing his patients. Hundreds of women have accused Heaps of sexual assault. In May, the University of California agreed to pay out a record $700 million to the survivors. Heaps now faces up to 28 years in prison when he is sentenced next month. And in labor news, a tentative agreement has been reached between thousands of unionized mental health care workers and Kaiser Permanente, the U.S.'s largest nonprofit health care organization, ending a two-month strike. The National Union of Health Care Workers had been denouncing chronic staff shortages at Kaiser, forcing patients to wait months for an appointment. The strike began in August, led by thousands of workers in California. Kaiser healthcare workers in Hawaii, Oregon, and Washington State later joined. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.
And coming up tomorrow night at 7 o'clock on Radio Free Kansas,
hi, listeners. This is Carl G. from the Abolitionist Hour on Radio Free Kansas. Every Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m., we'll talk about prisons since the Fugitive Slave Act to the Attica Uprising to 2018 prison strike. Stay tuned for more information on strikes and rebellions wherever they occur. Only on the Abolitionist Hour on Radio Free Kansas. Every Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. See you there.
Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Imagine that. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. This is Free Thought Radio, and we also think that the only afterlife that should concern any of us is leaving our planet and descendants a secure and pleasant future. So live for today, but think about tomorrow.
Imagine no religion. I'm Dan Barker, co-host of Free Thought Radio. I'm a former minister who saw the light, and I am now a happy atheist. Annie Laurie and I are co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. This is the October 20th, 2022 episode of Free Thought Radio. Grant Blaschka with Audio for the Arts is our engineer today, and he's being shadowed today by Stephanie Benicek. Did I say that right? Stephanie Benicek, who may be a future engineer on Free Thought Radio. So make it hard, make it really tough for her, Grant. Push all those right buttons there. And they are in the Stephen Uhl Friendly Atheist Studio, which is right here in Free Thought Hall, the national office of the Freedom From Religion Foundation in Madison, Wisconsin.
We're in the studio, too. They're in the engineering
room.
They're
in the actual studio, okay, and we're in the outdoor studio part.
And Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, emphasis on from. We want freedom from religion in government and in our social policy. We can see the havoc it is wreaking on our nation and the world to have it in religion. And we also represent the views of the really almost 30% of the adult population in the United States today that's unaffiliated and hopefully basically have no religion, nuns. So we have 38,000 members who are free from religion, and we would love to have you join us at FFRF.org.
The music we're going to hear between segments today is by the French composer Georges Bizet. It's the anniversary of his birthday this week. Bizet was born October 25th, 1838. Bizet was not religious. He was a rationalist, and he said, "Religion is a means of exploitation employed by the strong against the weak. Religion is a cloak of ambition, injustice, and vice." Listen for some of Bizet's music today, including Torero, Habanera, and Dance Bohème from the opera Carmen.
Yeah, just think of all the beautiful music we missed because he died so young. Last week, we spoke with Mike Freiberg, who's a member of the Minnesota House of Representatives. He's an agnostic, and he co-founded that new secular government caucus, which is very exciting. And today, we have the pleasure of speaking with another secular state legislator, and there is a growing number of them. Sherry Dutsey is from the New Hampshire House of Representatives.
In fact, there's so many openly secular members of government now in the country that some of them have started a group. Sherry Dutsey is on the board of the new, it's ASEO, Association of Secular Elected Officials. In a few minutes, Sherry will tell us why and how that association was started and what they are doing to keep religion and government separate.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to learning about that. This week on FFRF's Ask an Atheist, FFRF Director of Governmental Affairs Mark Dan, who's based in D.C., joined me here in the studio to speak with Katie Joseph, the Director of Policy and Advocacy at the Interfaith Alliance, which is in D.C., and that is one of FFRF's strongest allies, and they are working to combat Christian nationalism, so that was the topic.
And Katie Joseph is Jewish, but very happy to come on Ask an Atheist to talk about our common goal of promoting freedom of religion as well as freedom from religion. During the show, Annie Laurie and Katie talked about an alarming spike in anti-Semitism, and then Katie Joseph described Christian nationalism.
There is a recognition, first and foremost, that Christian nationalism is a political ideology. And it is one that is rooted in the accumulation of power. It draws on the symbols of a religious tradition, of Christian tradition, in service of concentration of power among a select group. At its heart, Christian nationalism doesn't envision a government for the people by the people. It envisions a government for a particular group of people by a particular group of people. And that leaves a whole lot of folks on the outside, both atheists, people who identify as secular non-believers, as well as people of faith and even Christians themselves who don't meet a strict test of who qualifies, kind of quote unquote, as a true believer. For many who feel a strong sense of connection to their Christian faith or a different faith tradition, there's a particular commitment and a recognition that we must take on this political ideology because it claims to speak in the name of religion in a way that will actually harm a great, great number of us.
Well, and she understands exactly how that can happen. That's Katie Joseph with the Interfaith Alliance. You can watch that Ask an Atheist show on FFRF's YouTube channel by looking for the Ask an Atheist playlist. There will be no Ask an Atheist next week because most of our staff will be flying down to San Antonio for our national convention. But Ask an Atheist will return on Wednesday, November 2nd, where you can watch the Godless Gospel Concert, which is debuting at that convention on October 28th.
And on our TV show, Free Thought Matters, our guest this week is Greta Vosper. She's a Canadian pastor who remains a minister even after announcing to her congregation that she is now an atheist. So it's quite a story. The United Church of Canada began what amounted to a heresy trial to get rid of her, but her congregation chose to keep her.
Let's listen into just a little bit of that interview.
So then, 2013, you actually labeled yourself or announced that you are an atheist. Is that what happened?
Yes, yes. We had been very active in supporting people around the world who were in challenging situations. And in February of 2013, Abhijit Roy and his partner were attacked on the streets of Dhaka in Bangladesh as part of the right-wing reaction to atheists in that country. He was murdered. Bonya was injured in that assault. I became aware of the tragic unfolding of the number of murders that were taking place in Bangladesh. And I understood that the things that I believed were no different, really, from what these brave scholars and authors and professors who were murdered had believed, publishers, editors. And so I really wanted to say, these people are being killed, and we need to pay attention to that. So by identifying as an atheist, which was just taking the non-theist label one step further, I was saying, I'm the kind of person that they're killing with machetes in the streets in Bangladesh. So
I had
really
exactly the same reaction as you, Greta. So horrified.
It was just terrible. It was terrible. And I really wanted to say, you know, if you want a target on someone, put one on me.
So you can watch that episode of Free Thought Matters right now on FFRF's YouTube channel. Just look for the Free Thought Matters playlist. It's just a slight factual correction. That awful attack took place in 2015 and was a turning point for FFRF as well, with the beginning of non-belief relief and so on.
We now have an Abhijit Roy Courage Award
yes.
for people who are putting their lives and their livelihood on the line. You might be able to watch that show on your local TV station. If you live in one of the 13 cities where Free Thought Matters is broadcast on local TV.
And we are covering about 27% of the U.S. Population because there's a lot of big cities there.
Mostly on Sunday mornings. You can watch that show. For stations and times, check our website. Go to ffrf.org/freethoughtmatters. Or you can look for the show under the news dropdown on our website.
Or again, just watch it on YouTube. So the Freedom From Religion Foundation is unveiling part two of our response to the ghastly decision by the U.S. Supreme Court in Bremerton, Washington, where they sided with a publicity-seeking Fox darling, Trump-endorsed coach who entered being a coach simply to bring God to students, who was praying with students, causing a lot of dissent, and the contract wasn't renewed. He was never fired, but he wasn't following orders, and they bought this phony line from him that he wasn't praying with students. He just wanted to pray on the 50-yard line. He was doing that at the very end after they had told him you can't pray with students. But anyway, the Supreme Court issued this decision in June, and it's causing a lot of mischief because although they didn't overturn any explicit previous precedent against religious ritual and prayer in the schools, it gave a green light and a kind of wink, wink, nudge, nudge to the many prayerful coaches and principals out there. So we want to make sure in the present tense that public school administrators realize that it was a bad decision. It wasn't taking into account students' rights, but it didn't actually overturn any of the existing prohibitions against using public schools to proselytize.
So coaches
students.
Can't gather their students together to pray before
no,
the game.
No, they cannot. And so we have sent, our attorneys have sent, and we actually dealt with the mailing house because there were so many. We sent a memo to more than 6,100 school districts in 14 states, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Michigan, Missouri, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Texas, and West Virginia. And what do they all have in common? Those are the states that we get the most complaints about in about religion in the schools, and we are sending the same memo as need be on individual cases elsewhere. And we also worked with our chapter in Florida, which is very active. The Central Florida Free Thought Community co-signed a specific letter that went to the public officials there in Florida. So we were pleased with their activism because Florida is a really top 10 state for violations. And so we, you know, laid down the law and we said, you know, you still have to protect the rights of conscience of students, and this rest of the court decisions are good law. And we also include in our campaign an online Know Your Rights resource webpage and brochure for students. And we even have kind of summarized it to the point where we put it in a wallet size, I don't know what you call it. It's an online digital wallet sized card that can be printed out by students and carried around in their wallets if they like. And it also tells students how to contact us to report state church violations. So, and those should be arriving this week. We also emailed them to all the administrators for whom we had emails, and we hope that it will keep religion out of our public schools.
And speaking of religion and sports in the public schools, the Freedom From Religion Foundation has filed an amicus brief, a friend of the court brief, in a case before the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals involving a Christian school that wants to have prayer over the loudspeakers for the Florida High School Athletic Association. This association includes secular as well as religious schools who compete, and the Christians wanted to have their prayer before each of these competitions were they.
That are being hosted by public schools and by this public school association.
So we, our friend of the court brief, is saying that the court should dismiss this Christian school's assertion that it be allowed to broadcast prayers over the PA system.
Yeah, the Cambridge Christians are requesting not equal access in the case, as they're saying. They're requesting special treatment. Nobody else is getting up and doing announcements or prayers or, you know, it's ridiculous.
They can't claim that this is a public forum where all points of view. It's
yeah.
never been used as a public forum.
So
it's
a very important amicus brief, primarily done by Sam Grover, I think with help from Patrick Elliott.
We have another billboard to talk about?
Yeah, we are very pleased that we have a very prominent billboard up for the first time in the city of Toledo, Ohio. We've been all around the country, but we've never been in Toledo per se. And I got a call from one of our members, Dr. Lloyd Jones. He's 80. He's a retired biology professor from the University of Toledo. And he said he wanted to pay for a billboard to go up in his hometown. And he said right now there's a lot of anti-science out there, and it's causing people to have mistaken beliefs. And he liked our bumper sticker that says science doesn't care what you believe. And so we turned that into a billboard for the first time, and it's phenomenal placement there in Toledo near a stoplight. Can't really miss it. It's on the corner of Dorr, D-O-R-R, northeast of Reynolds, in case you happen to be passing through Toledo. And of course, it's an obvious rejoinder to the backlash against vaccinations and boosters for COVID-19, but we also just in general hope that this message will promote the idea that we need reason and science to prevail in our society. So we thank Dr. Jones very much for that.
I'm looking at the billboard. Are those like viruses behind it, little blue?
Well, there's some kind of science thing.
Science thing going on there.
Thing that our graphic
designer
amazing. Caught.
So we're going to take a break, and then after the break, we're going to hear a sneak preview of Godless Gospel. And then we'll speak with a New Hampshire State Representative, Sherry Dutsey, about the new association of secular elected officials. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We'll be right back with more Free Thought Radio.
is Janine Garofalo. Are you tired of right-wing politicians who desperately want to impose their religious beliefs on the rest of us? I know I am. That's why I'm asking you to support the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Join the fight and call the Freedom From Religion Foundation toll-free at 1-800-335-4021. That's 1-800-335-4021. Or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation website at ffrf.org. That's www.ffrf.org. Proud to be an atheist, Janine Garofalo.
Margaret Sanger's motto was, "No gods, no masters." This is Free Thought Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker. And in a minute, we're going to hear a sneak preview of Godless Gospel, one of the songs from Godless Gospel. And I'm really excited about Godless Gospel. We're going to have our premiere at the convention in San Antonio.
Next week. Unfortunately, it is closed, but...
So you can't register, but you'll be able to watch Godless Gospel on Ask an Atheist the following week after we record the thing. Godless Gospel is a group of former gospel musicians, as in mainly black gospel musicians. Andre Forbes.
Who were simply in choirs, right?
Yeah, or in choirs, yeah.
Yeah.
Andre Forbes, who was a well-known gospel producer and songwriter who traveled the world. He got fed up with the business and with the faith and the belief, and he now is a non-believer. And he and I have been working for more than 3 years, actually.
Yeah, well before the pandemic.
Working on songs and material for Godless Gospel. We have 7 tunes we're going to premiere and debut. And I thought, let's hear a sneak preview of one of the songs that Andre himself wrote, which expresses his feelings about coming out of faith and coming out of the church. But he still wants to use music. So this is part of a demo. This isn't the actual performance. This is just a demo of the song, Never Be Ashamed, written by Andre Forbes. And the two soloists you will hear on this demo are D'Angela Morant and Rogers Phibby.
You don't have to feel you're alone in this world anymore. There are more that feel the way you do. Hey, it's okay.
It's okay.
You don't have to feel you're alone in this world anymore.
You're not alone.
There are more that feel the way you do.
that's Andre Forbes, Never Be Ashamed, solos by D'Angelo Morant and Roger Fibby. Is it Roger?
Roger, as he calls it, yeah.
He goes by Roe.
Yeah, Roger, yeah, Roe is the director of the Black Nonbelievers
in
of Washington, D.C.
And who are the others?
Mandisa Thomas, who's head of Black Nonbelievers, the national group, she's one of the singers. And Candace Gorham, the author, activist, she's also one of the singers. We've had her on our radio show. Steve Phelps, who's a Nashville area songwriter and musician, he's singing. Cynthia McDonald, who's from Chicago, she's
part of Freedmen of Chicago.
Yeah, she's looking for
black activists.
Reparations. Tahira Clayton, the jazz vocalist. D'Angelo Morant from Florida. Charles Wilson on drums, Amos Perry on the bass, and Aaron Hill on organ.
And so, you are also going to be on the grand piano.
Playing a little bit.
And Andre will be on the piano, on the keyboard.
So we're really excited about this. We get to do that music, but without all the,
without all the phony stuff.
Lyrics. So we're going to take a break now, and after the break, we're going to hear from Sherry Dutsey. She's a New Hampshire state representative. She's a secular humanist, and she's going to tell us about this new association on which she is on the board called the Association of Secular Elected Officials. We'll be right back with more Free Thought Radio.
Hi, I'm Steve Pinker. In my book, Enlightenment Now, I show that the world has become a better place as reason has been overcoming superstition and tribalism. But the values of the Enlightenment are under attack. That's why I'm a proud member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest association of free thinkers working to keep state and church separate. Please join me in supporting the Freedom From Religion Foundation to ensure that our government is driven not by religion, but by reason.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker. Welcome back. Sherry Dutsey has been a New Hampshire state representative since 2018. She got her BA in sociology and social welfare at Cal State University in Long Beach. She has a Master of Social Work degree from Boston University. She worked in the field for 8 years before earning an MBA at Northeastern. Sherry is also on the board of ASEO, the New Association of State Elected Officials. And on their website, that association says, "The goal of this association is to help elected officials be authentic about their beliefs and ethics and provide a forum for elected officials to connect with each other for education, support, and fellowship."
So we're very excited to learn about this new association and pleased to have you with us, Sherry. We know you identify as a non-believer, a secular humanist, and we're speaking with Sherry Dutsey, who is in Nashua, New Hampshire, and Sherry told us that's a 50-minute drive northwest of Boston. So thanks for joining us today, Sherry.
Well, thank you for having me.
And I should really call you Representative Dutsey.
Please don't. It's fine. Sherry works just well. Works very well for this, you know.
So listeners might like to know the name is spelled D-U-T-Z-Y, Dutsey.
Correct.
So tell us about, before we talk about your background, tell us about this new association. How and why did it get started?
Well, I wasn't involved with it from the beginning. That was Leonard Pressburg. But, my understanding is Leonard was very interested in starting an association like this. He was on the school board in Georgia. And so he worked, I believe, a number of years to try to identify legislators and people in, local and state government that identified as humanists or non-believers. And when they saw a critical mass, Leonard and some of his associates decided at that point that it was time that they would be able to launch the Association for Secularly Elected Officials. So, time gets away from me, but I I believe I came on board probably about 18 months or 2 years ago.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say there are a lot of elected officials who are now identifying as nuns, N-O-N-E-S, or non-religious or secular humanists, correct?
You know, there's more. What's really interesting is when I decided to start the Secular Values Legislative Caucus in the New Hampshire legislature, I honestly didn't know what I was going to get. And there were, there were a number of people that came forward and thanked me for having the courage to start this. A number of them joined. You know, I mean, we have a large legislature. We have 400 people in our legislature. And I would say probably about 10 to 12 courageous people came forward, you know, put their name down and said that they would like to be involved. But, you know, you have other people who come up and thank you for doing this. Say they agree, you know, with the principles, separation of church and state and secular values, but are still have concerns about coming out and strongly identifying as non-believers. So I think there's more of us than are identified, but it's still an issue to get people to feel comfortable with joining an organization like that.
So we interviewed Representative Mike Freiberg from the Minnesota legislature last week, and they just started what they call a secular government caucus of 24 people. But of those people, only two of them identify as non-religious. So the caucus welcomes other people who are willing to, you know, it's a state church, and also that freethinkers as well as other people have rights of conscience.
Well, they say they're fighting Christian nationalism.
And they're fighting Christian nationalism. Yeah. Of course, in Congress, there's, 16 of them, and only Representative Huffman, the co-chair, identifies as a non-religious. So is your caucus exclusively people who are non-religious, or are there some religious people on it too?
No, it's not exclusively. And in fact, when I started it, you know, I made an address to everybody. But basically, it's those people who are committed to secular government. And you know, actually, I like what Minnesota has done, calling it a secular government caucus. But I think, and in one case, one of our legislators is a minister. And
yes.
when I was thinking of doing this, I approached him and said, you know, I don't want this to seem anti-religious, and you know, would you be interested? And he said, you know, I have grave concerns about Christian nationalism. I agree with it. But, you know, I think people, you know, especially, you know, of the majority party in New Hampshire have a real issue with identifying with secularism, even though they agree with it on a governmental level. So we're certainly not exclusive at all. We welcome everybody because the focus really is on policy, and trying to maintain a secular government and prevent the incursion, you know, of religion into government. But I've been struggling with that in terms of how, you know, how do we craft a message that is more inclusive, because I don't think I've hit it correct at this point yet.
Well, I'm not sure that it's your fault, Sherry. I think it's more timidity by legislators. And, you know, we're finally seeing that a recognition of the dangers, the growing dangers of Christian nationalism and what it is. But a lot of politicians are afraid to say they're against Christian nationalism because they think people will think they're saying they're against Christianity. So I think it will take education.
Well, there's a group called Christians Against Christian Nationalism, too. So
yeah,
they're not all that way.
Sherry, what is your caucus called again there in New Hampshire?
Secular Values Legislative Caucus.
So you probably were the first caucus to organize, because I think Minnesota is only the second. Do you know?
That's my understanding, and You know, my I think to a little bit, it was a reaction. What's going on in New Hampshire? I'm not sure if you are familiar with the Free State Movement.
No.
Okay. Well, literally 20 years ago, the goal was 20,000 by 2020. And a gentleman by the name of Sorens, I'm going to forget his first name. I think it might be Jeremy Sorens. Looked around the United States for a state that could become a basically libertarian utopia. And they decided that New Hampshire's government, because we had a lot of town hall, small town government, that if they moved people to New Hampshire, they would be able to infiltrate local government and eventually take over. And so they developed a program where they would pay people to move here. They would set them up in houses or apartments. And these people would commit to running for school boards, local selectmen, and then, you know, eventually the state house and federal government. So it never got to 20,000 people, but it has gotten to 6,000. And in 2020, the movement really took off. They had gotten elected to a number of positions, and they elected approximately, they say 20, I say upwards of 60 people that were elected representatives. And because of their numbers, they could basically dictate to the majority party, you know, what they wanted. A lot of the people are part of the Christian National Movement.
They are?
And, And, you know, they moved here specifically because, you know, I mean, it's basically no government. They're against public schools. They passed vouchers for religious schools in this past session. We didn't have the votes to stop them. You know, they in the last session, they passed what we call enabling legislation so that any public school can post the motto, "In God We Trust."
Yeah, I wondered why that happened, and that seems so weird in the New England states. So yeah, now you're explaining it.
And this is not New Hampshire. I mean, you know, the New Hampshire that I moved into, you know, was scenic New Hampshire, and then we had a right wing governor who got our motto changed to "Live Free or Die."
I was going
to
say, I bet it's that motto has dogged your state.
Yeah, and I can't remember what, I think it was John Stark who said that during the Revolutionary War, and it really is, you know, live free or die, you know, for there are worse things in life than death, or something like that. But the motto is cut short. So basically, it's attracting people, you know, who don't want any gun regulation. I mean, they basically, their philosophy is, if it doesn't benefit me, then I don't want to pay for it, but I will gladly take your money to benefit myself. Yeah. You know, yeah. So they've instituted vouchers where we're giving $5,000, you know, in state money for people to send their kids to religious schools. So the last 2 years have been, you know, extremely difficult for us. So based on that, and based on the fact that we have a legislative prayer caucus, you know, I decided that it was about time that we had a counterbalancing point, and I had already been asked, I believe at that point I had already been asked to be on the board of ACEO. So I said, well, if not me, who?
Well, good for you.
So we decided to come. So I decided to just do it and see what we were going to get. So it was interesting.
Well, it looks like there's a real need for your secular caucus there in New Hampshire. We're talking with Sherry Dutsey, who is a New Hampshire state rep, about the Secular Values Caucus and about the National Association of Secular Elected Officials. When we come back, Sherry, I want to ask you about your own life. I think you were raised Catholic, and what happened to you? I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We'll be right back with more Free Thought Radio.
I'm Ron Reagan, an unabashed atheist, and I'm alarmed by the intrusions of religion into our secular government. That's why I'm asking you to join the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest and most effective organization of atheists and agnostics, working to keep state and church separate. Phone 1-800-335-4021, 1-800-335-4021, or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. Ron Reagan, lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker. Welcome back. We're continuing our conversation with Sherry Dutsey, a New Hampshire state representative who started in her state a secular values legislative caucus and who is also on the board of the National Association of Secular Elected Officials.
And briefly, Sherry, how did you happen to go from Catholic to freethinker or secular humanist or whatever you prefer to call yourself?
Yeah. Okay. Well, quickly, first of all, I actually was raised in a non-religious family. And when I was 8 years old, I was the one that decided that I wanted to become Catholic because my friends were going to church and I wanted to know more about it. So to my parents' credit, they allowed me to go through the whole thing, baptism, confirmation, and I attended church by myself, you know, every Sunday. It was a big thing for me until about the age of 13. And I was going to catechism one time and, noticed that the priest was smoking after he had just given a sermon the day before asking people to give up smoking so that they could donate more money. So at that point, you know, being 13, I said, wait a minute, this doesn't compute, and I decided to drop out. When I started college, I decided to give it another go because I had gotten a letter from the local priest. So I decided to go again, and a month or two into it, a nice, friendly priest mysteriously left. Another, you know, restrictive, hard-headed brother came in. And the sermons just became very judgmental. And I decided at that point that it just wasn't for me anymore. And that was it. And then over the years, you know, I would go to every once in a while in a wedding or something. I would go and I would listen to a sermon. And it just never resonated with me again.
I love the fact that the priest wanted people to give up smoking, not for their health, but so they could give more money to the church. Speaking of Catholic and religion, let's talk about the situation with abortion in New Hampshire. And we have about five minutes left. I thought that it wasn't in danger, but during the break you told me things have been going on there. So what's the status?
Yeah, I mean, this is what's happened with the Free State movement and the Christian National movement, which is so dangerous. So we had two bills. One bill was the school voucher bill, which was very the most liberal voucher bill in the country, and we had something like 3,000 people register their a dislike for that bill. Only 600 people registered their like for the bill, and the legislature voted it down. Okay, and the same thing happened with an abortion bill, where there was no abortion after 24 weeks for no reason. For the health of the mother, for incest, for fatal abnormalities, you know, that was it. Both of these bills were defeated, and then what happened is the majority party put them into the budget, okay? And they slid both of them into the budget, and because the governor is head of the majority party, he claimed he couldn't veto the budget, and both of those became law, even though the citizens, the citizen representatives, the legislature had voted them down.
But so... And, abortion is legal to 24 weeks?
And so then this past year, so what happened is the first bill also said that anybody wanting an abortion at any point would have to have an ultrasound, even though it was not medically indicated. I think what happened is the insurance companies didn't really like that because this was going to cost them. So the governor had a change of heart, and in the last session, we were able to get an exception for fatal anomalies. We took off the ultrasound, and they can now have abortions after 24 weeks for the life of the mother, not necessarily the health of the mother, which is two different things. Hmm. Okay, so that's where we stand right now in New Hampshire.
So still a lot better than Wisconsin, where it's illegal completely, unless it's to save the life of the woman. And they're hotly debating how they're even going mm-hmm. to allow abortions for that because doctors are so afraid. Where do you draw the line? Mm-hmm. But sounds like you have a real fight on your hands there. And, you know, usually we associate libertarianism with people who they may not like public schools, but usually in the past they've been associated with not being religious. So these are Christian nationalists that you are dealing with.
Absolutely. And in fact, we have a 25-year-old who's running, you know, for a congressional seat, Caroline Leavitt, and her experience is that she was a staffer in the Trump administration, and in you know she goes on with her ads and you know wearing the Christian cross. So there's a lot of these signals, that are being given off. I mean, we've never seen that. I don't ever remember seeing things like that.
Well, that's proof, isn't it? Proof that the primary organized opposition to abortion rights and women's rights is religious.
Yeah, I don't think there's any other way, you know, that you can interpret that. I think for all of us who are seeing this transition, we're just trying to figure out, you know, what the next move is and how we defend it. You know, it's not just about the abortion issue. It really is about a person's autonomy and, you know, the fact that we are so free to feel that some people feel free to regulate, you know, how a woman can manage her own body, and yet we have no laws affecting men and how they can relate their body. I would really like to see, you know, the messaging change to really bodily autonomy, because I think as humans we all have that right, you know, to say what we do and don't want to do with our bodies. But I think by allowing, you know, the religious right to maintain the focus on abortion, you know, and therefore that whole slippery slope of life, you know, we do a disservice to what I think the true issue really, really is. And that government needs to stay out of it.
Hear, hear.
In the legislature, I sit next to a former doctor, and you know he'll jump up and down and he'll say over to me, you know, this is government legislature practicing medicine without a license. He just gets so upset about it, and it's true.
Yes,
I mean, you know, we're not qualified to practice medicine. Let's stay out of it. The religious right doesn't want that.
Good words to end with, Representative
Sherry Dutsey.
Sherry Dutsey, thank you so much for joining us today and for your advocacy for secular government.
Okay, well, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it.
And we want to thank listeners to Free Thought Radio all around the country, in Philadelphia to WOOM, in Bryn Mawr to WZML, in Madison, Wisconsin to WIDE and WMUU, Janesville, Wisconsin, WADR, Bryan, Texas, KEOS, San Marcos, Texas, KZSM, Columbia, Missouri, KOPN, Eugene, Oregon, KEPW, Vermont, New Hampshire, WOOL, Black Sheep Radio, Rhode Island, WRIU, and in Ithaca, New York, WRFI. If you're listening to the podcast, give us a thumbs up on your provider and tell people to visit Freethought Radio at ffrf.org/radio.
And find out more about the new podcast, We Dissent, featuring female attorneys working for separation of church and state, including FFRF. And please ask for more information at ffrf.org or just join us. There's a join link at our homepage. And support FFRF's vital work to keep religion out of government. Tune in next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday you'll join us.